to Semper Gumby in Alaska, a podcast of the Diocese of Juneau, broadcasting today from St. Rose of Lima in Wrangell, Alaska. Today is Wednesday, October 5th, 2011. Jesus teaches his disciples the Lord's Prayer, and Jonah finishes with the Ninevites. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus again in reply spoke to the chief priest and the elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is to be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and fattened cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find.' The servant went out into the streets and gathered all they found, bad and good alike, and the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment. The king said to him, 'My friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment?' But he was reduced to silence. The king said to his attendants, 'Bind his hand and feet and cast him into the darkness outside, or there'll be wailing and grinding of teeth.' Many are invited, but few are chosen." The Gospel of the Lord. Who likes weddings? Nobody raised their hands? I go to lots of weddings. 2 or 3 a year. It's just fantastic. Although I have brother priests who would rather do a funeral than a wedding. At least the guest at the funeral isn't anxious. I love weddings because they're this wonderful, tangible symbol that there's hope, that things are improving, that it's worth going in together for life, because every next day is going to be better than the last. And I've witnessed that in so many couples that I've been happy to celebrate their 25th, or their 45th, or their 50th, or their 60th wedding anniversary, and they still walk down the street hand in hand, lovingly care for each other in so many outward signs that I can see, but probably all the more in the love and appreciation they have for really what becomes their other self. The king is throwing a wedding banquet, and all of the important people in town are invited, right? Property owners, businessmen, the elite. And they refuse to come. We don't know why they shunned the invitation, but if you're invited to the wedding of maybe your second or third cousin and it's going to be in Albuquerque, well, maybe you don't go. But if this is your city, right, and the king invites you as one of the main property owners or businessmen in town, you should probably show up. Because the king's son is going to have a lot of influence on you and your business and your family for decades to come. So in great peril, do they reject the king's invitation? And he kind of says, okay, they didn't come with the first invitation. Well, let me send more people to invite them. Let me send a better invitation. How many people have been in an event and said, you know, if we had just gotten this on the scanner, or maybe sent a postcard, maybe more would have come. I'd suggest everyone knew of the event. Everyone in town knows the king's son is getting married. And maybe lots of people are hoping for an invitation. Anyone here get an invitation to the royal wedding over in Britain? How many people watched it on TV? Yeah. I didn't get an invitation either. Why are we so interested in that invitation and watching the great parade of hats? Come on. What happened to our Easter morning hats? Maybe we'll have some this year, right? That great parade of hats, it was a huge event, and you wanted to be seen and to see others who are there. Everyone wanted an invitation to that wedding. But in today's reading, they reject the invitation of the king. We hear Matthew telling this story to Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians in about the year 80. The temple in Jerusalem was destroyed in the year 70. And Matthew very clearly sees the Jewish leaders' rejection of Jesus causing the destruction of the temple 70 years later. Not only is it destroyed, but it's like leveled. There's no place to live in Jerusalem, and everyone has to leave town. We hear that, right? The king sent out his armies, destroyed their city, killing everyone. Better say yes to the invitation of the king. I think we forget that we have a God who is both love and mercy on one side and judgment and power and glory and fury, right? Any sailor caught in a storm? God's fury is huge. And in our church today, we've forgotten about sin. Those who fail to say yes to God's invitation to the wedding banquet have refused to love the Son. Right? So the allegory, if we jump to the allegory being told here, God the Father is the King, and the Son, right, is throwing the banquet, or is throwing the banquet for his Son, Jesus. Now, who are the invited guests? Well, Isaiah says, everyone. Everyone is invited. And I'd suggest the way to read the end line of the gospel is that few choose to say yes. Few choose to say yes. In my first month here, I did two funerals for longtime Catholics. And there was standing room only in this church and in the hall next door. And we actually ran a TV cable over there so they could watch it on a big screen that someone had drug from their house. And they all knew the words to the Mass, which suggests that they might be Catholic. Might have grown up Catholic. Might have those really deep Catholic roots in them. And so they're invited to the feast. And yet today they say no. Well, Jesus keeps inviting, right? We'll put ads in the paper with the new Mass times. We'll let everybody know something new is amazing happening up here. Come see the inside of our church. Just don't admire the insulation. But many say no. So of all the wedding guests that have arrived, what is this curious kind of story that Matthew has added to the end? Right? Anytime we have a real parable that we're struggling with when we do scripture study, read the other ones. Read it in Mark, read it in Luke, read it in the Gospel of Thomas, which is a very early one, although not canonical. It gives us an insight into what the first centuries were thinking about these stories. And we see that Luke has added this little piece at the end about the wedding garment. Now, today, weddings in Alaska, I've seen some very casual, right? Extra tufts, jeans, maybe not new, flannel shirts, was the wedding party. And the guests wore all kinds of other things. Now, the wedding party did walk down the beach of the shrine and get onto a float plane and disappear. So maybe it was appropriate to dress like you were going to step into the water. But this wedding garment in the first century would have been provided for by the king. It was like the party favor, right? You went to this event and you received a new garment. Well, this is going to be huge because who's invited now? The nobodies, the anybodies, the people they found lounging around at the city square and on the streets and the hedgerows, and they all come. And one gentleman attempted to shame the king by saying, "I don't need your garment. I'm fine with the clothes I'm wearing." How many of us have said that? "Lord, I don't need your mercy. I'm fine just the way I am. I have no sins. I got no problems." That's the mantra of the people of America. I'm so excited with the new translation. We're going to go, "Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa." We'll say it in English, of course. "Through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault." We'll admit at least once a week that we're not whole, that we might need God. The wedding garment that God provides is Jesus. And Jesus is love. If we desire to feast at the table of the king, of those juicy, rich foods and pure, choice wines, we need to learn to love as Jesus loves. And his love is sacrificial. His love is self-donating. It gives itself away, never counting the cost, never holding a grudge. Right? That wedding reading that we hear, 1 Corinthians 13, how many people have been to a wedding where they've read Paul's great poem of love, right? Love is patient and kind. Love is not long, love is always long-suffering, never holds a grudge, looks for the best in the other, right? That poem, I suggest to married couples that choose that they read that to each other. But they put their name in the place of love. And then if it's not true, they make amends, change their life, go to confession, and start anew. So imagine if we read 1 Corinthians 13 by saying, "Thomas is patient and kind." Not really. And maybe not with everyone. "Lord, forgive me. Thomas doesn't hold a grudge." Well, what about, better let go of that. Right? We need to allow the Word of God to invade us and hold us hostage. It should be dragging us to heaven. But to do that, we have to expose ourselves to it. And I'd suggest that there's going to be a really awkward moment when we get to heaven. We're going to be there in front of God's throne. God's going to say, "Well, how was your life?" And you're going to be like, "Magnificent, Lord, it was amazing. You should have seen the things." Well, you did. You should have been the places. No, you already did that. Well, God's going to say, "Did you read any good books?" "Oh, yeah. I read all of Chesterton and all of, Harry Potter. I read C.S. Lewis too, Lord." And God's going to say, "Well, did you read my book?" "I wrote one book. Did you read it?" And you can see God the Father like, "Come on. Oh, I hope so. What do you think? What do you think?" And you're going to go, "Well, you know, I lived about 70 or 80 years, and I never got around to it." It's going to be awkward. Right? If you've made it through Michener's Alaska, you can make it through the New Testament. And maybe even the book of Leviticus. Right? If you've read Taipan or Shogun, you've read a number of characters that equals the length of the Bible. It's not a long book. You have one sitting in front of you. I'd suggest starting with the Gospels. Read them every day. Read them all the way through. Read these four Gospels. You can get it done before Christmas. And then when we go to meet our Maker, he says, well, I started with the best parts, Lord. I just skipped right to the end. The story's about Jesus. And he's like, great. He's probably going to say, I didn't much like Leviticus either. Right? We have to allow our faith to invade our lives. And I'd suggest that that's how we say yes to the invitation of God to come to the feast. It's our option to say no. Right? You're all here. You're saying yes partially. Have you clothed yourself in Christ that you can truly participate in God's love?
Thank you for listening to Semper Gumby in Alaska. This is Father Thomas Weiss, a priest of the Diocese of Juneau. If you'd like to send me any feedback, you can reach me through my email at frthomasweiss@gmail.com. Again, that's frthomasweiss@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and if there's any way I can make these podcasts more helpful, please let me know. May God bless you, and have a great day.